Alrighty, numbers are moving.
Good morning again. This morning I read in Acts, a little bit in chapter 7, a little bit in chapter 9, and it was a pretty lengthy reading but I wanted everybody to have the picture of Saul and how he was so adamant about, you know, persecuting Christians and persecuting the church, and then how God came to him and Christ came to him in a light and blinded him and told him he was doing stuff wrong and needed to change things. So that light and that change and that for him to change his path was what kind of resonated with me a little bit yesterday with my experience. And it, by all means, it was an experience. So whoever has not had this experience, I would say plan for it. Just plan for it, because it's kind of a zoo. Just a show of hands, I'm not sure how many hands will go up. Who's ever been to an IKEA store? Oh, wow, several. Okay. My family excluded, at least. There's some others. So, IKEA is a Swedish furniture making store or whatever. We have actually a distribution center. If you drive down the 5, there's a distribution center off on the right. Big, massive building. The store is actually just as big. And these things up here, nice, big arrows. Talon warned me about the arrows at IKEA, because those of you into IKEA, what do the arrows tell you to do? Tell you which direction. You haven't even been there. See, and you're already ready to go. They tell you which way to go, and you are. You're going back and forth. You're going around all over the place. It's not your normal store. It's divided up into 3 sections, or 4. There's like the showroom, and then there's something they call the marketing place, and then the self-serve area, because we like to self-serve ourselves. Anyway, that light, and it's a light. It's not something painted on the floor. It's projected from above, down on the ground. That tells you which way to go. And if everybody were to follow that light at a nice pace, your pace preferably, works out great. But, and the way they have the store set up is you can see everything from that path. You can see into rooms, the layouts, the showroom is just what it's there. It shows you a room, the furniture, cooking utensils, you know, chairs, beds, drapes, wall cabinets, hutches, you name it. It's all there and you can see it all. And they've already kind of put it together and pieced it together so it looks nice and real appealing to you. Anyway, so you have this path and that you're supposed to follow, and that light is your saving grace. And so you have to make sure you know where that is all the time. Because it shows exactly where you're supposed to go. To make sure that you're going to, 1, see everything, 2, hopefully find things that you're looking for or that you like, but then it'll also get you to the end where you can actually find your stuff, because you don't get to, it's not like a regular store where you get to pick in the showroom what you want and put it in your cart and go about your merry way. That's not until the very end. So, I got to thinking about that light, and, you know, who's our light? Who's our direction? God is. And so the story of Saul came to mind, how he blinded him and told him to get on the right path. And it was a really bright light that took care of that and got him on the right path. And so I started thinking about this experience at IKEA. And I think it was 5 or 6 hours, just so you know. The place is the size of a football field. And you walk back and forth and up and down and around through the football field multiple times. And that's just the showroom area. Then you got to go to the next part. So it's, like I said, plan for it if you go. And so I got to thinking about that light and how, you know, IKEA went about to extreme measures to create a place. And so knowing that God's our light, and we'll get back to that, I started thinking about the place and what we have as far as a place. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're reminded of our place. And starting in verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And then in chapter 5 it says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That's what we look forward to. If we stay on his path, if we follow his light, he has a place prepared for us. He has already, Jesus is there, they're ready for us. They've prepared a place for us of eternal joy. And like Josh said, we'll all get along. Not like we might have issues with our siblings, but we'll all get along in that place. So that's where the whole showroom and having something prepared comes in. We need to not forget and not lose sight that God has prepared a place for us. And that we have that place to look forward to, even if our things here on earth are starting to deteriorate. IKEA's furniture is supposed to be real sturdy and really well made and stuff. So we'll see about that. But if it can survive my boys, we'll see if it's sturdy or not. But, we have the luxury of knowing that what God's preparing for us is going to be sturdy. It is permanent. And then we look at this arrow, the lighted arrow that we had. Like I said, this was a huge place. And if you stayed on that path with the arrow, you were in good shape. But we all know how enticing it is when we see something off to the side or we have an opportunity to do something in our lives. Sometimes we lose sight of that lighted path. We lose sight and fall short of where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. So I started thinking, when we were there, there was a couple times we went off the path. And I was kind of glad to hear Lori say this because I felt kind of bad myself. I had a hard time once finding the path again because I didn't know where it was. Lori said she ran into the same problem, and this was her second time there. So I knew I was doing all right. But you were able to find the path again. But when you steered off, that was kind of a dangerous time because then you could be all turned around. I think she said when she went off path, when she got back on path, she ended up going in a circle. So she got back on the right path, but she had to redo some of the areas. So when you think about the path that God's prepared for us, we need to remember there's always Satan who's trying to pull us away. There's always the society and the world and the way of the world that's going to try to pull us away and make us fall away from God, away from his ways. And we need to remember that and not lose sight of the fact that he is our light. In 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And then down in verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. We want to live a life of no sin. We want to be purified from sin. But we have to stay in the light. We don't want to fall into the darkness, and we don't want to get lost, and we don't want to be pulled into the chaos of being off of that path. And trust me, it is a little chaotic once you step off the path, whether it be at IKEA or in the world. So in Psalms 89, chapter 15, we're warned of what happens when you do fall away. There is Satan out there. There's evil people out there that want you to be off of the right path. They want you to lose sight of those arrows that God's telling you which way to go and where to be. So our goal is to not lose sight of the arrows. One of the factors that was kind of nice when I was off track is I had four other people to look for. And I was hoping they were on the path. But I would see one of my boys or something that were still moseying along down the arrows and down the main aisleway. And I was able to get back on track. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ that can get us back on track. But we have to be near enough them. We have to be there for them. We have to be there for each other to make that happen. So continuing down the IKEA experience, you were able to see each room. And I know this happens in our lives as well, our Christian lives, and it's frustrating because I've heard different people talk about it. Even though there's an arrow, even though there's a light telling you which way to go, wouldn't you know it? Not only is there the chaos off to the sides, there's somebody going the wrong way. And that really messes up the whole flow of everything, of where you're supposed to go. So as Christians, you guys need to be aware, and we need to be aware, of when somebody's going the wrong way. And we got to avoid them. And we've got to find our way around them and or help them, turn them the right way. Whatever it is that we're able to do to get everything flowing the right way. Because when it was flowing the right way, it worked all right. When everybody was choosing their own ways, it was chaos. So, losing the light of path. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, it talks about the wicked people pulling us, reminding us to stay away from the wicked people. And then in Luke, I'm trying to give you guys a 6-hour experience in 20 minutes. Just so you know, that's why I'm kind of trying to go through here. in Luke, chapter 1, in verse 78 and 79. Oh, the way down there. There we go. Says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on the living, on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. When we stay on God's path, we will lead a more peaceful life. We need to be cautious of the darkness. We need to be reminded that we stay on, that we need to stay on that lighted path. And like I said, we all help each other with that, whether it be noticing, asking for help, noticing if somebody needs help, acknowledging them when they're missing, or just when they appear to be having a hard time. Our job is to make sure that all of our brothers and sisters stay on the right path, but also to bring others to that path, to have that influence on others. And the next thing that was kind of interesting, and I kind of had mixed feelings about this one. They had shortcuts. Even though there was a path that took you through everything, so you would get to experience everything, you could see everything, and you can identify exactly what you needed, they still had shortcuts. And at first I was like, a shortcut's not a good thing, because you're going to miss out on something. Usually when you take a shortcut or you cut corners, you're missing something vital. And that could be detrimental. But then I also was looking at it and I started thinking about it. It's a long path. It's a football field that you're going back and forth and around and back and forth and around. There's a lot of opportunities to get distracted, a lot of opportunities to get off track. A nice shortcut, if you know where you're going, if you know how to stay on that lighted path and get directly to where you're going and get back on that lighted path, or even stay on it in a sense, because you know it's right there, that could be a good thing. It could reduce your frustrations. It could reduce your temptations. And it could help you be more successful. And the reason I started thinking about it two ways was because of what we're told in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, kind of goes against the shortcut thing. Says, enter through the narrow gate, for the wide gate and the Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Well, we don't want to go to destruction. And yet the path that I was looking at yesterday was a nice wide path. The shortcut was a skinny door that you kind of had to squeeze through. It says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So I'm thinking about this lighted path that they had us on, and there was obviously people who knew about the shortcuts. There's obviously people who were experienced in this whole IKEA layout, and they knew the shortcut without getting lost, without getting sidetracked. They had enough knowledge. So I started thinking, well, maybe a shortcut would be good, but only if you have enough knowledge. For us to take shortcuts with God's plan or with what God asks us to do can be devastating, and we don't necessarily want to do that. But if we're knowledgeable enough to know what we should be avoiding, if there's an easier way to get to salvation, if there's a way for us to avoid a temptation or a downfall or a stumbling block, and we're knowledgeable enough to do that, we should. So I kind of have mixed feelings about the shortcuts at IKEA. Didn't like them yesterday because it was my first time. Not knowledgeable enough at all. But I could see where somebody could be knowledgeable enough to use them in a quick, it wouldn't take them 5.5 hours to get through the store, a quick manner to get what they need and move on to the end. So think about that when you think about taking shortcuts with your salvation or God, because, or your relationship, because the Bible doesn't want you to take shortcuts. But it does give you some guidance on what to avoid. It does give you guidance on things that are going to be temptations or things that'll make you fall or make you stumble. Things that'll make you weaker with him and not strengthen your relationship with him. So shortcuts could be good, could be bad. You want to be careful with that. By the time we were done and when we were on the way home, I was thinking what would have been really nice was a nice overview map, so I knew exactly, like a schematic of where this path was taking me. Because all it had was a line. And it said, you're here, this is the next section, this is the next section, this is the next section. Well, Lori said, well, there's a map on the thing that we were writing down all the numbers that we wanted. There's a map in there. That would have been nice. I didn't look at that at all. I had no clue there was a map in there. I got online looking at IKEA maps, and you'll see it. It's a nice grid. It's laid out. The path is going to take you from, oh gosh, what was it? Bedrooms to apartments to kitchens to housewares. It takes you through everything. There's a map. There's an overlaying map of exactly where you're going to go and what you're going to experience and where you're going to find it. I didn't know it, so it made it frustrating for me. As a Christian, and when I think about my Christian life and my relationship with God, the good thing is God knows the map. God knows the plan. God knows what you're going to experience. God knows everything. He has a complete plan for your life. And so I started thinking about that. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 talks about our lives and for God's purpose, and that we have a purpose. And he knows what that purpose is. So when I started thinking about that, if I was meant to take a shortcut, if I was supposed to know a shortcut in my life, God's going to know that. God's going to direct me down the right path, whether it's a shortcut that'll maybe get me to avoid certain situations, or maybe I am going to go down a path, and maybe there is going to be some temptations. Maybe there's going to be some distractions, but he's not going to put anything in front of me that I can't handle. He's doing it for allowing it to happen for a reason, so that I can continue to grow and become stronger. So we got to the part, there was actually a section. I'm going through this whole beginning portion, looking at every little room and every little thing, because we went to get the boys' desks. They needed desks to do their schoolwork. And I found out there are a whole section of desks. And when we got to where we were supposed to be, and what we wanted to look for, we had to get off the path. And we had to look and dig in deeper. We had to investigate every single desk. We had to measure and see what would fit, what wouldn't. We had to see which one was going to meet each kid's needs as to what they wanted. So we really had to dig in. And so I started thinking, okay, so there's times in our lives where we need to do that within the Word. We need to dig in when we have questions, when we're not sure or we're trying to find something. We don't just, you know, necessarily go along blindly. We go in and we start digging into the Word. We start looking for the right answers. And even though that time in that area was chaotic, by the time we were done, each boy knew exactly what they want. Each boy had an understanding of what their needs were. And we just had the information that we needed to continue down the path so that when we got to the end, the self-serve area, you could pick what you needed. And so, I started thinking about that with our relationship with God and what we do here, you know, with our Bible and our conversations with Him. There's times where we don't have the answers. There's times where we're confused and we don't just ignore it. We dig into it. We start looking for the answers and we start praying. We start talking to God and we try to find those answers. And that's an important part of our growth and our maturity and our understanding of the Word. The next section of the store, we're almost there. We're almost done. They call it the marketplace and the self-serve. Self-serve. Yeah, you got to get your own stuff. It's all boxed up nice and neat, but you got to find it. You got to get it. You put it on the cart. You take care of all of it. The marketplace is just kind of that they have everything out there and you kind of go and you grab what you need really quick, the last minute things. But then you get to these big warehouse. It looks like Costco. But everything's down at your level. You go to the aisle, you go to the number and you pick up what you need and it's all in pieces. So for Tristan and Talon, we had to make sure we had the right pieces and it was very adamant. You need two pieces for this piece of furniture. So you gotta get them both. Otherwise you end up going home without the whole set and you're not gonna be able to put it together. So that whole area to me is where you get to really start deciding, you know, this is like the commitment of what you need to do and what you need to get, you found it. Okay? And when Tucker and I went to go get the truck, he said, "What time are we gonna get home?" I said, "Probably 8:30. We're not putting this stuff together tonight, are we?" I said, "No, we're not going to have time." He said, "We'll just get it home. We'll do that tomorrow." And I didn't even think much of that until we did get home. And this applies a lot to our Christian lives as well. We got these items. We got this information. We got all these things at home, but we weren't done. There's still work to be done. There was still work to do. Tucker got to work on his stuff. Started opening up boxes and putting things together. I'm like, "What are you doing? It's 8:30 at night. We're done." Nope, got to put it together. So I started thinking about that and we have to work. We can have all this information. God's our light. We have our plan. We have the Word. We watch out for the shortcuts. But we have work to do. There's other people that are going the wrong way that we got to try to turn around and get to go the right way. There's the people that are easily pulled off into the chaos off to the sides, whether that be the world or society. We got to try to bring them back. I think Josh mentioned it in his in the talk this morning, or this table talk this morning, about, you know, the times of Noah and when things were really bad. And, you know, we're not in the best of times right now with our society. People are not thinking straight and they're making poor choices. It's not a good time for society right now because they're not thinking straight. There's a lot of work to do in being a Christian. It's not just about coming to church. You're the light of the world. You're the salt. You're going to have the impact on society. You're the ones that make a difference. You're the ones that people will count on. People will see a difference with. You're the ones, as Christians, as followers, as ones who have a relationship with Christ. That's our job. And it's never ending. As long as we're here on this earth, we're to be that example. We're to have that impact. I heard one guy put it on something I was listening to. And he put it as, I'm a teacher, but I'm not just a teacher. I am a Christian teacher. I'm God's representation of what teachers should be. Chad works at a bank. He's God's representation of a banker and what that person should be doing. So the people we run into contact with should see God in us, should see Jesus in us, should see our, you know, their impact on our lives. That's what we're here for. So that's kind of my connections of my experience at IKEA and and our biblical experiences in our life and as a Christian. We have a path to follow. And we need to, and God lights up that path for us. He's our arrows. He'll guide us down the right way. We just need to stay with inside of that, and we need to stay focused on that. We need to be cautious of our distractions. If you are distracted, or if you're in an area of need, dig deeper into the Word. Look for the answers. Find the answers. Pray. Talk to God. Even though it may seem like a one-sided conversation we talked about in the back this morning, it's not a one-sided conversation. That's how our relationship develops and becomes stronger with God. And shortcuts, I'm just going to say be cautious on them. Because, like I said, there's a lot of temptations out there, but shortcuts can be dangerous. And ideally, we should be able to stay on God's path, and we'll experience what He wants us to experience and grow stronger from it and be strengthened and develop better relationships with our brothers and sisters, as well as Christ and God. Kind of a different lesson this morning, but hopefully it kind of brings to light, we can probably take about any of our experiences in our daily lives and apply it to something that relates to our relationship with God. And God needs to be at the first and foremost of everything we do. There's a purpose for everything we do. There's a purpose for everything we experience. So those are my thoughts this morning on what we need to not lose sight of what we need to focus on, things we need to be cautious about. Hopefully you made some connections of your own through this wonderful experience that I shared with you. And we'll offer the gospel invitation if anybody needs to get on that right path and follow the lighted arrow, the way that He wants you to go, while we have Josh lead us in a closing invitation song.
828.